Well, good morning, everybody. If you're a dad here, raise your hand. If you're sitting by him, turn and go, way to go, way to go, way to go. We're here to honor dads today. But we're going to go to Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Daniel chapter 2 today. As you're looking there, I just want to have a couple quick announcements. You know, our homeland concerts, which are our concerts in behind the library in the amphitheater there on Saturday night and Sunday night, July 1 and 2. And Sunday morning on July the 2nd, we're going to have church there. And so both services are going to come together as one big church family. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're going to have a church service there. So bring your lawn chairs, what have you, blankets to sit on. And then right after service, we're going to have a picnic. So stick around for a little bit and have a great time together. That's going to be on July 1st and 2nd. In your bulletins, there's always a response form. On the back of the response form, there's a couple ways you can help out there, help with parking. You can help with having security. We need somebody to kind of hang out there during the day in two-hour shifts just so that we can not have our stuff stolen. And so you can be part of that, helping out ushers and greeters, lots of different ways that you can participate. So we want to encourage you to do that. Also, don't forget, there's several mission trips this summer. The one I want to talk about just for a second this morning is our trip to Canada coming up at the end of next month. How many of you have been on that trip to Canada in the past? Okay, we have a great time up there. I've been a couple of times myself. We helped that church do an outreach in the park. It's a great family mission trip. It's inexpensive, and you can bring anybody in your family to help with the kids program in the evening there. We're looking for a leader to help guide our team up to the Canadian border and to get through customs there, and then our missionary will take over across the border. But if you're interested in that, you can see in the bulletins and let us know. Let us know. All right, so Daniel chapter 2, we are moving into a very strange dream. If you remember the story from last week, King Nebuchadnezzar, who took the nation of Israel into captivity, and he took some of the noble sons and he trained them for 3 years. Daniel and his three friends were part of that group. They excelled in their learning in the Chaldean language and literature, and now they're part of the wise men team that King Nebuchadnezzar uses to get advice and wisdom. And King Nebuchadnezzar has a very unusual request. In fact, we saw last week, it's an impossible request. We saw that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted to understand the implications of the dream. He didn't know how to interpret it, but he didn't trust his wise men. So he told his wise men, before you tell me the interpretation of the dream, I want you to tell me the dream. And if you can tell me the dream, then I'll know you can tell me the interpretation of the dream. Well, no one could tell him the dream. It was an impossible request. And finally, he gets frustrated. And whenever King Nebuchadnezzar gets frustrated, he does one thing. He tears you limb from limb and he burns your house to the ground. Okay, that's his typical response. And so he says, I want all the wise men to be torn limb from limb and their houses to be burned to the ground. And so when the chief of the executioner team goes to Daniel's house, Daniel and his three friends are there. He knocks on the door. He arrests Daniel and his three friends. And they're just taking him off to execution, and Daniel asks the question, what's the problem? And after he hears about the dream, he asks for the king to give him a little bit more time, and the king gives him time, and God reveals the dream to Daniel. And that's where we find ourselves in chapter 2, starting there in verse 20. God reveals the mystery to Daniel. But you know, it's interesting, before Daniel goes and rushes back to the king to save his life and the life of the rest of the wise men, he stops for a minute and he does something that I want to encourage us dads to do today. In fact, this section is good for any of us, but because it's Father's Day, I want to encourage our dads to do what Daniel did. We've been talking about chapter 2 being a life of influence, and what Daniel does is he brags in his life. Today, I want you to be a bragging dad. I want you to be a bragging father. Now, dads like to brag about a lot of things, don't they? Dads like to brag about the car they used to have before they had kids. Dads like to brag about the career or the money. Dads like to brag about their physiques. You know, from the time we're little, they teach us, you know, that old joke. You got sent to the principal's office? Yes, I got sent to the principal's. Well, why did you have to go see the principal? Because I brought these guns to school, right? You know. Yesterday, Ruthie and I were in the Galleria Mall, and there was a guy wearing a tank top, and the tank top said, "Sun's out, guns out." He was wearing his guns out in the sun. Okay, honestly, it was me. I wore that tank top yesterday to the gallery. No, I can't stand tank tops. I didn't wear that. But Dad liked to brag. I always remember my father saying, hey, Dad, how'd you do fishing this morning with your friends? Well, I caught this really big one. You know, I caught this really, you know, he's holding up his fingers like this because he caught a tiny one. But he's telling me, I caught this huge one. Dads like to brag. And this morning, I want to challenge us as fathers and as mothers and as students to be a bragging dad. But what we find out about Daniel is that he brags about God. How often do I brag about God to my kids? How often do I brag about God the way that Daniel brags about God? So we're going to see here in this short little section that before Daniel rushes off to tell the king his dream, he pauses for a moment and he writes out a little script bragging about God. And I think it's an interesting section that if we can land here just for a few moments, we might be able to glean some things that you and I will realize, oh, that's happened in my life. Oh, that's happening in my life now, or that's going to happen in my life. And when it does happen, before I rush off and take credit for it, before I rush off and solve the problem, maybe we'll pause and just brag about God a little bit. I want us to be bragging dads. So I'm in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then the mystery, it says, was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said. Now I want you to notice a couple of things about what Daniel says. Because we would automatically think that when Daniel blesses the God of heaven, that Daniel is going to write a song or a poem or a script thanking God. But what I noticed right away were the personal pronouns that Daniel uses. In fact, let's look at them here. The personal pronouns are, Daniel is talking about him. Daniel says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. That's an interesting statement. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and the hidden things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Now, in order for us to understand the full impact of what he's writing here, we need to go back just for a minute. And I know we haven't looked at the actual dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, but let's take just a minute and let me give you a glimpse into what's coming because it helps us understand today. The dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was of a statue. And the statue looked something like this, where the head of the statue was made of gold. And we're going to discover, Daniel tells us, that the gold head represents the kingdom or the empire of the Babylonians. And then the chest and the arms are made of silver. That represents a yet coming kingdom, the Persian kingdom or the Medo-Persian Empire. The thighs of brass are going to tell us about the Greek Empire. The iron legs tell us about the Roman Empire. And then the feet that are a mixture of iron and clay talk about the divided Roman Empire. And then there's this big rock it's going to talk about that comes and knocks the statue down and fills the earth. And we know that the rock represents the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ. So the dream that Daniel is going to tell the king is a dream of a statue, which is foretelling of the coming future empires and kingdoms on the earth. Now, that's important for us to understand when we go back and we look at the words that Daniel uses. That's why he talks about he is the one in verse 21 who changes the times and the epochs, who changes kings and establishes kings. He's talking about the statue. The first thing that we learn about Daniel is that he brags about God to other people. How often do we dads brag about our God to other people, especially those in our own house? I think I could have done a better job as a dad bragging to my kids about God. And Daniel gives us four reasons to brag about God to other people. The first reason we found there, right there in verse 20. It says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. Now, If you like to underline words in your Bible, you can underline the word blessed. The word blessed has the picture behind it of the Middle Ages, where the knight walks into the king's throne room and the king is on his throne, and to bless the king, you would kneel before him. The picture that Daniel is giving us is the same picture that when Daniel walks into the throne room of Nebuchadnezzar, he kneels before Nebuchadnezzar as a sign of respect, and Daniel says, I do the same thing with God. I kneel before him. Why? Because God is worthy to be knelt before. And it says there in that verse, forever and ever. Now, forever and ever, sometimes we think is from this moment on. But the word, the phrase forever and ever, as it's used sometimes in the Bible, it doesn't just picture forward, it actually pictures backward. That from the beginning of time, God has been worthy to kneel before. All the way to the end of time, God is still going to be worthy to kneel before. And Daniel says, you know what, I'm not afraid to say that I kneel before a God who's worthy to be knelt for. He always has been, and he always will be. He brags about how good God is, and that he is not afraid to kneel before him. If you keep your finger in Daniel, let's go back just a couple of books to the left, to the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is a wonderful picture of how big and powerful our God is. Isaiah chapter 40, Daniel is talking about the greatness of God. And in verse 12, he says some very interesting things. Number one, in verse 12, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? If you hold up your hand just like this, the hollow is the palm of your hand. How much water could you hold in the palm of your hand? Well, this verse says that way back in Genesis, when all the water came from the center of the earth in the time of the flood of Noah, and the rains watered all the water from the sky that came down upon the earth was filled with enough water to cover all the mountains of the earth in Noah's flood. And the tallest mountain we have right now is Mount Everest. It's about 5 miles high. So in Noah's flood time, all the water on the earth was about 5 miles deep. And it tells us here, Isaiah gives us a glimpse into the magnificence of God, that he could take all of that water and it wouldn't even spill out of the hollow of his hand. That's how great our God is. And then he says in verse 12, and marked off the heavens by the span. And you know, the span is the distance between your pinky and your thumb. That's called a span. Some of your spans are bigger than others. But if you take God's hand and you place it over the universe, his thumb would be on earth and his pinky would be in outer space. Because he measures out the heavens by the span of his hand. Number three, it tells us that, and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in the balance and the hills in a pair of scales. The balance and the scale that is being used here, the word that is pictured, is the same balance that used to be used here during the gold rush days. You know how you'd go out into the rivers and you would try and find gold, and you would bring your little flakes of gold to the bank, and the bank would pull out that scale, right, that had the ability to measure the finest of gold flakes and give you a precise amount. They were too small to weigh on a regular scale, so you had to pull out this special scale that would be able to weigh fractions of an ounce. The word that's used in this particular verse is that when God looks at the mountain ranges of the earth, when God looks at the hills like the Himalayas or the Alps or the Rocky Mountains, that those mountain ranges, those hills are so small to God, he has to get out that special scale and weigh them. That's why he goes on to say in verse 14, whom did he consult and who gave him understanding? Who's taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him the way of understanding? Our God is so great. God has never been taught anything. And Daniel says You know what? I don't mind bragging that I kneel before that God. Because he's been worthy to kneel before from the beginning of time to the end of time. How often do I brag about the God that I willingly tell you I kneel before him? Then he goes on in verse 20 and he says, for wisdom and power belong to him. Verse 21, and it is he who changed the times and the epochs. And again, if you like to underline words in your Bible, you can underline the word times and epochs. The word times refers to the changing of the seasons. Like this week, we're moving from spring to summer, aren't we? And God is the one that's in charge of all this changing of the seasons. He's also the one that's in charge of the epochs. Now, epochs is a longer period of time. This is the period of time of an empire, like the Babylonian Empire, and then the Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire. God is in charge of not only the annual changing of the seasons, but he's in charge, he says there in verse 21, he removes kings and he establishes kings. Reminding me of Acts chapter 17, where we are told in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Watch this. Having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their inhabitation. God is the one that's in charge. And you know what? I don't mind bragging that God is in control of all the governments. Boy, don't we need that security today? That with all the craziness going on, not only in our country, but around the world, it's good to be reminded that you and I serve the God who is in charge of all the governments of the earth. The past governments, the present governments, and according to the dream, God has already set in place future governments. The dream to Nebuchadnezzar came during the time of the Babylonian Empire, and God declared there was going to be the silver empire, the brass empire, and the iron empire, and then the rock empire. God declares the governments of the past, the present, and the future, and we can brag about God to others that he is in control. He's in control. And then I also like verse 21 as it wraps up. It says, he gives wisdom to the who? The wise men. And knowledge to the men of understanding. That God also is the giver of wisdom and knowledge. And these phrases are kind of interesting because it tells us two things. Number one, if I have garnered any wisdom or understanding in my life, it's something that God has brought to me. That God is the revealer. God is the giver of wisdom and knowledge. But I also thought it was interesting that he gives it to somebody that will use it. He gives wisdom to the wise men. There's a saying that we like to say in our Christian culture. God helps those who what? God helps those who help themselves. That's a wonderful slogan. The problem is it's not in the Bible. But there's something very like it right here. God helps those who will use his help. God gives wisdom to the wise men. So not only he the revealer, but he's only going to reveal it to people that will use it. God is the giver of understanding and knowledge, but you'll notice there it says that he will give knowledge to men of understanding. In other words, God is going to be the source of the wisdom and knowledge, but God will give it to us if we're willing to use what he gives to us. We brag about God. Hey guys, if God ever done something or brought some information to you at the last minute that you hadn't thought of, and you solved the problem? Has God ever given you a nugget of wisdom or has revealed some knowledge to you that really rescued you from a difficult situation? This applies to all of us. Has God ever taken you through a difficulty and at the last minute you discovered something that set you free? Daniel was being led to his execution, asked for a little bit more time, so his path was leading to death. God revealed something, and before he ran to the king, he bragged about God to other people that, hey, everybody, God is the God who gives wisdom and knowledge. Boy, our kids need to know that the wisdom and knowledge that you have as mom or dad didn't necessarily come directly from you, but it came from the source. It came from him. And then verse 22, it is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Again, if you like to underline words, underline the word profound. The word profound, get this is so funny. The word profound means you're not smart enough to figure it out. So he's got to tell you. I can't tell you how many times that God has put me in a situation that I was not smart enough to figure out. Because I may not be the sharpest pencil in the box, but you know what? I got a God who sometimes helps us through something we can't figure out on our own. That's the profound. Have you ever come up with a solution and you go, wow, where did that come from? Because I was educated to my capacity at the end of the eighth grade. And now, God reveals things. God loves to reveal the profound things of life to simple people. He does it every day. Can you brag that he's done that for you? He knows and reveals the hidden things. See, there are certain things in life, not only that you can't figure out, that's profound, he'll show you, but there are certain things in life that are beyond your view. They're hidden from you. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad God doesn't reveal everything about our life before it happens. I'm glad that sometimes God withholds what's going to happen 10 years from now so that we don't worry about it today. But God reveals the hidden things. What's hidden? Well, the future's hidden. If we go back to the illustration of the statue, there's four coming kingdoms after the Babylonian kingdom, and the future is a thing that's hidden. None of us know our future. We don't know where life is going to be next week or next month or next year. We don't know the lives of our children next week, next month, next year. We don't know the life of our country. The future is something that's hidden. But you know what? We can brag about God because he knows the things hidden in darkness. He knows everything about everything because he lives in light. The picture is very simple. Daniel is using the illustration of you walking into a completely dark room. And God has hidden something that's going to bless you in this room. But the room is pitch black. And it's full of cubbies and nooks and hidden places. And you have no idea where to look for this blessing from God. And so Daniel says there is light that dwells with him. In other words, God has the flashlight. And God sees into the dark room. And what God does for us sometimes is he just lights up his flashlight and he says, Phil, stop looking over there. That's not where it's at. It's right here. And he shines the light on the future that he has for me and for you. He reveals it to us. Daniel was blown away because he had no idea what the dream was going to be about. And then when he was revealed the dream, and realize it's about four coming kingdoms after the Babylonian kingdom. He was blown away that God shined the flashlight of the hidden things of the future and revealed it to Daniel. And we say, wow, that is the God that we serve. See, if you look at a lot of other religions and the leaders and the hope of other religious systems, God is the one that controls everything there is about your future. We can brag that although he lives in light, he knows everything about everything. Even the secret things hidden in the dark. So Daniel takes a few minutes and he brags about God to others. But then I want you to notice something. He changes the pronoun in verse 23. He changes it from he and him to you. And he says, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Notice at the beginning of this little script, Daniel says power and wisdom belong to him. And now Daniel is actually thanking God because God sprinkled some of that wisdom and power on Daniel's life. You gave me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. See, we're told just before this script that Daniel went to his house after he asked the king for more time, and he gathered together with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they had a prayer meeting. And they prayed that God would be compassionate on them and reveal the dream and its interpretation so they wouldn't be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And so Daniel and his three friends were praying, and I think that God revealed the dream to Daniel, and then Daniel is discussing it. Hey, I think the dream is about a statue. In chapter 1, we're told that not only was Daniel 10 times better than the rest of the captives, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also 10 times better. So it's perfectly logical for Daniel to be discussing, hey, I think I know what the dream is. What do you guys think about this? I think it's a statue. And I think it's a statue about the future. Because in this particular culmination of Daniel's bragging, he says, you revealed this to us, to the four of us. So they process this through. But look at what he says. To you, O king. So Daniel switches from bragging about God to others, and he starts bragging to God about God to God. Have you ever bragged about God to God? We call it praise, thanksgiving. Daniel simply turns the focus of attention of his bragging from others to God. And he says two very simple things. God, thank you for the good things you've given, like wisdom and power. Boy, dads, we need to be thankful for God's wisdom and power. Because we had no idea what it was going to be like to raise those little rugrats. Right? I mean, the joke in our house is I was happy with two, I was more than happy with three, and we have four. And if we had a fifth, I'd have moved out and got my own place. Wow, we were 23 years old. The first one came along. Didn't come with a manual. I had no idea how to raise. Then two came along, then three. Some of you have adopted other people's kids, or some of you are watching and caring for other people's kids. Lord bless you, because we need wisdom and power. Praise the Lord that sometimes he takes his wisdom and his power and he sprinkles it on us dads. And so let's brag to him about the goodness that he's given to us, the good things. Daniel says, wow, God, I can't believe that you gave me some of your wisdom and your power. Thanks for slicing a piece off and bringing it my way. Bragging about God to God. And then finally, bragging about when God has answered your prayers. What prayers have God answered lately? Maybe they're just little things. And maybe you got a whole pile of big stuff. But our kids need to hear how God has answered our prayers. Because it encourages them to kneel before and seek the wisdom and power of God themselves. So Daniel brags about God to others. And he brags about God to God. And this is how Daniel lives a life of influence. Now again, this morning, this bragging can be for all of us, not just dads. But boy, our families, our friends, our coworkers, dads need us to influence them in this way. Let's be bragging dads. bragging about our muscles, bragging about our bank accounts, bragging about our achievements, bragging about our sports teams, although if you're a Giants fan, there's not much to brag about right now, okay? If you're a 49er fan, you're not favored to win a single game this year. So, you know, there's a lot to brag about with God, isn't there? So let's be bragging dads and moms and men and women. And let's brag about God to others. And let's brag about God to God. Because this is one of the ways that Daniel lived a life of influence. And you and I can also influence other people this way by simply bragging about our God and how wonderful He is and how, yes, I gladly kneel before Him. Blessed be His name. And I'm so thankful that sometimes He takes a slice of His power, a slice of His wisdom, and He gives it to me. And things are revealed that I wouldn't have figured out on my own. And things are shown to me that I would not have come to that conclusion without His help. And He takes the things hidden in secret and He reveals them so I know how to move on with life and to be all that He wants me to be. Good stuff. Let's stand together and pray. We're out of time, so reach out and grab your neighbor's hands. We traditionally do to close our service in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the dads in the room today. I thank you for them. I thank you for the hard work that they've put in. And I know that moms have done the same, and men and women have worked hard for you. Lord, I pray for dads that have broken relationship with their kids. May you restore, mend, and heal. Thank you for the dads that are watching over children that aren't their biological children. They're heroes. Lord, help us to influence those you've given around us. And one of the ways that we can influence is just to brag about you. To brag about how you control the governments of the world. We don't have to live in fear. How you control the nations and the kings. Lord, how you control the things that are unknown to us because they're too profound or they're hidden. Lord, how you help us by giving us your power and your wisdom. Lord, I pray for those dads that are still raising those little ones. May you give them the remembrance to brag about you to them, that they too could learn what a great and incredible God you are, who is worthy to be knelt before and worthy to be praised. Show us how to do this, Lord. Give us a great week. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.